Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adam Mastriani, and you're listening to Altered Geek.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is
TFU and Mike, and this is a GeekCast Radio crossover, as I said, because it's time to talk about the OCGD, everybody. And what is that? Well, that was Steve's idea. You want to tell the people what your idea was?
Oh, I'm fine with you introducing it.
Okay, well, obsessive compulsive geek disorder, the OCGD. It's one way for me to put a GD in here without actually saying GD.
It's a thing now.
So, obsessively compulsive geeks is what we were originally going to call this, and then I added the disorder part because we all have geeky disorders around here. What are some of your geeky disorders, sir?
Pass. No.
You can't. This was your idea. You wanted to discuss this.
So, some of my obsessive compulsive geek disorder would be returning to franchises gone by. Point in case, Trek.
Yep.
In recent years. Because, I mean, a good part of the GeekCast Radio Network was founded on Transformers. Like, a good portion of it.
Pretty much 98.7.5% of it, and then we branched out.
We branched out, but yet All Things Transformers is still
the number one show.
The number one show. Which is why every time I've attempted to
cast it into
the great Allspark, it returns with a vengeance.
Okay, you're going to hate this, but you're also going to love it at the same time. So, he's known as Steve Megatron, folks. He can do Beast Wars Megatron's voice. His podcast that he created in 2008 is the Starscream of the GeekCast Radio Network, Indestructible Spark.
More or less.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I mean, but I don't hate the show. Like,
no, I mean, you're gonna hate my analogy to
like want to escape it. But I've since come to terms that I still enjoy it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, so obviously the Transformers stuff, and then, you know, collecting and painting and in of the figures and all of that, and then of course Trek, getting back into that because of the current era that we live in.
Yep.
And it's not that I didn't care for it before, I didn't have a reason to go back per se.
So if we go back to 2008, 2009, when you and I first started talking and all this and all that, we're not going to rehash all that crap, but like, you go back to 2008, 2009, 2010, there was Trek, but we built the network on Transformers. You still love Trek. I still have plenty of off-air recordings of you basically talking my ear off about ships that were GH and I or whatever the hell, I don't know. They use all kinds of damn letters now. I'm surprised they haven't started using letters and numbers together with show. Oh, wait, they do that too. Anyway, the point is that he's always had a fascination with Star Trek, folks, and I've always had a defiant fascination with Star Trek. So coming next year, Altered Trek, and where we go through the Trek that we enjoyed watching back then and now. So we're going to be selective on that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Star Trek has always been your thing. We just haven't dedicated the time to exploring it because we've been doing so many other things over the past 14 years.
Oh, yeah. And I've enjoyed a lot of it, and then a lot of it's, you know, new, and I'm kind of getting back involved with, I was into Star Trek Online and then all the old content, but then we got Strange New Worlds and Picard, which season 3 is really the only reason I care about that show.
I've only seen one episode of that show so far, folks, and it was a crossover. So, or not a crossover, but it was a guest appearance by Number One, because that was the only reason why I care. Again, I have a defiant fascination with Star Trek. I'm not the Star Trek nerd around here. He is.
So, yeah, I mean, I got back involved with that, and then we got reviews of Transformers and Masters, and funny enough, I didn't get the OCD over it like I kind of was expecting. Even during Tron, when Legacy came out and we covered that, I remember getting OCD to the point I was like, I need to have, you know, Tron's memory disc and you know, some of the figures and some of the other stuff, and then I was kind of like, wait it out. And then I was like, if I still care in 3 weeks, then it's real. If it's not,
then it doesn't matter.
Fast forward to the Power Ranger movie, Once and Always.
Once and Always, yep.
And then Cosmic Fury. And then I was reminded why I enjoyed the original. So much.
So it's funny he mentions Cosmic Fury, because did you watch both Dino and did you watch all of it, or did you just watch the?
So in preparation for it, because I did watch Cosmic Fury, but I was kind of like, I don't know who all these people are.
Right. Yeah.
And I knew it was a continuation, so I went back and I kind of skimmed it. I didn't fully watch it because I'm kind of slowly going through the different generations. I started at the beginning, and I'm through Zio.
Okay.
Which honestly, like, I liked everything from the start of the series until the end of Zio, beginning of Turbo.
Yeah.
And I watched the two different movies, the original MMPR, the movie, and it parallels the series in part of it, but it really doesn't. Everything that happens in that movie doesn't. It's like a Elseworld situation.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then so I enjoyed the series, and then we got to, you know, Zio and the end of that, and then to Turbo. And I may have missed something, but I don't know why, like, the Zio powers were no longer relevant.
And the Zio crystal, it's a thing. It's just that's all I can do. Without looking it up, without opening, like, 17 different I'm not doing that.
I know that the Zio crystal, the longer it exists and the stronger it gets.
Yeah.
Thing. I knew it was a thing, so I watched Turbo. I watched the movie, which parallels into the beginning of the series. Like, it actually is the bridge.
Yeah, it's the bridge. Yep.
And then we get Turbo, and then they change the cast halfway through, which it was mostly, and I heard it was like down to like a money thing.
Probably. Originally. Who knows? Yeah.
I know that Jason David Frank wanted out.
Oh yeah, he did.
And at the time, he'd been there the longest, and so he wanted to be done. And then the other ones were kind of like, well, we kind of came on board with him and didn't feel right to stay. And then, Steve Cardenas, asked for a raise for all of them.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, lick bricks. And that's why we got Justin.
Justin wasn't,
he wasn't terrible. I've seen worse kid characters. He wasn't bad.
Yeah.
He was done really well, and I feel like he kind of got the shaft almost like akin to a Wesley Crusher thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't deserve it. But I did like how they sent him off when they went into space.
Yes, that was cool. That was good.
How they kind of, you know, he's like, I'm going to just stay here, guys. And then I watched In Space. I kind of skimmed that one up until I got towards the end with Zordon, you know, meeting his demise.
Yep.
And that's where I left off.
Oh, okay. So you're right at the edge of space going into the Lost Galaxy. Got it. Yeah.
So, okay. And it's more so like, I wanted to kind of more so understand the universe. Cause when Zeo came on, like after Zeo and it went turbo, I was like, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything against it. It was just, I just didn't have any interest in it anymore. I'd kind of lost interest with Star Trek even around the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of like with some, not all, some Transformers fans, they're beasts, not cars. Get this out of here. Not a lot of people are like that, but it's that similar, the same type of thing. Like, oh, we had Mighty Morphin, we had Zeo, we had Alien Rangers, which was a whole just a 10-episode thing. And then we get Turbo, and like, Turbo, cars, really? Like, it's a whole reverse of the G1 versus Beast Wars, whatever. But the reason why I'm even bringing this up, the reason why we started having this is because before we actually recorded this episode, I watched, I think, maybe the first two or three episodes of Dino Fury, which is the first part of Cosmic. Yeah. Yep. I watched like the first three or four episodes of that. And then I didn't watch anything else of it. I never went back to finish it. And I just watched the last two episodes of Cosmic Fury as we're recording this, just to see how it ends. And I'm just like, really? That's it? Yeah. And I did not like the way the Zords looked in that show, at least the last two episodes. They're just, oh, God, no.
Yeah, I was not a fan of the Zords. And then I really wasn't a fan of some of the ways that they took people in and out.
Yeah.
I loved that. Like I went back because I was like, okay, Zed's back. I got to figure out how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, like it or not, with all of the other villains, he was the least hokiest of the group.
Yeah.
Like, the least, like, I don't know, he just seemed the most menacing out of everybody and didn't look like a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Like, Master Vile kind of looked like a dumpster fire, and then you get everybody else after him.
Yeah.
Like, and the Machine Empire, I hated, but I hated Divatox more. Like, the Machine Empire, I was like, okay, they're stupid machines, and I hated Cog. And then their robot butler that would, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, went back. I watched, you know, they brought Zed back. I was like, okay. And then he was kind of, you know, they kind of somehow brought back his essence that was lost during the Z wave.
Yep.
And then he was kind of a puppet for a while.
Yeah.
Until one of the Rangers broke it, and then he became his old self again.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed him, and I know that they couldn't get the original actor back for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and sadly, Robert Axelrod passed away a number of years ago.
But, I mean, they've had other people play the role periodically throughout when he just randomly appears.
Yeah.
And those even sounded better than what we got in some of this. And even the one in Dino Fury was better than the one we got in Cosmic Fury, which was Fred Tatasciore.
I have all the respect in the world for Fred Tatasciore. He's an amazing Hulk. He can do an amazing voice, but there is no, like, there are some voices you just cannot. Either, even if you're trying to replicate them, which I don't think Fred was trying to replicate what Robert
he was trying to do somewhat.
He was trying to, yes, but like, whatever voice Robert was using for, like, we interviewed the Maz. Tagati and I interviewed him and Barbara Goodson. We interviewed Zed and Rita years ago from the command center. And his normal speaking voice is kind of like down here. It's kind of low. You can hear him, but he's not like, see how I'm moving my voice up where I'm talking now, where it's a little louder. Whereas before I was like, it's kind of like he was a really soft spoken kind of voice guy, except when he would play Lord Zed, when he would be all the way up here like that. I know.
Well, I think he really played Goldar too.
No, he did not. That was Kerrigan Man.
Okay. Well, did he play Finster?
Yes.
Yeah. Which Finster is more of a natural.
Yeah, it's more of his natural voice. But again, Lord Zed is, even though you're right, he was never meant to be a, like, Rita and Scott, wow. Rita and Squat and Babu and to even a little bit more extent Goldar, they were all kind of the comedy relief. When Zed came in the mutiny in season 2 of MMPR, it was like, oh shit, what have we done now? Like, oh mm-hmm. my god, we're in trouble kind of thing. Well,
and he
didn't
play, and he, you right. know.
He didn't play around, he just did this, did that, and whatever Robert did with that voice.
I am Lord Zed, identify yourself.
Excellency, surely you remember me, Goldar, your faithful servant.
Ah, yes, Goldar, the groveling one.
I surrender myself to serve and obey you only. It is good to have you back, Lord Zed.
Your spineless, sniveling attitude leads me to believe you will serve me well.
What Robert did versus what Fred did is not the same. Like, I didn't like Zed in Dino Fury at all. I'm just like, okay, he's there. Okay, we have his plot. He wants to get all the Morphin energy. He wants to get it into his little light-up chair there. Okay, fine. Great, that's the plot. I got no emotion for something that was supposed to be like, this is the close off of the last 3 decades. I got nothing out of that finale.
See, I felt like they rushed it. I felt like we mm-hmm. should have got another 10 episodes.
I don't know about like, that.
Enough to flesh it out. Get rid of the squid people.
Yeah.
That by far was the worst part. The Zords were kind of lame. I think it's funny how the original MMPR Zords
mm-hmm.
were not good enough to fight Zed, and they had to bring the Thunder Zords in.
You're talking about way back in the old days, right?
Yeah, the old days, but they keep bringing the MMPR original Megazord.
Yeah, true.
Back, and it's like, if it wasn't strong enough to fight back then, how was it strong enough now?
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing is like, okay, I know over the years we've had a lot of the MMPR characters show up or their suits or whatever. Weren't the power coins destroyed?
Yeah, at one point or another.
So, like, there's some continuity stuff that really throws me for a loop.
Yeah.
And especially because power coins, you know, with Beast Morphers, like...
Mm-hmm.
We get Jason back and he comes with his power coin and morphs again. And they're like, it's a power coin, you know, like not expecting to see that at all.
Yeah. And this is why I enjoy the comics more than the shows now.
Now, don't get me wrong. I do love whenever a classic character
mm-hmm.
from MMPR shows up, like whenever, doesn't matter. Any of the iterations from season 1, 2. And those, like, I watched those multiple times just because I really enjoy the crossover episodes the most. And like I said, like, that's the OCD in me. Like, I'm like, oh, I gotta follow whatever these guys did. I'm, you know, I really like the White Ranger. Like, that was my favorite character. Like, I like the Green Ranger too, but when he became the White Ranger, I was like, oh, I'm all over that. I like that.
Yep.
I liked the Tiger Zord. I liked Saba. I liked, you know, the Falcon Zord. I liked the look of the costume. Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, I kind of went all in with it. And then with Dino Fury, I watched enough of it to know what happened with Zed. And then we got Cosmic Fury, and I sat there and I watched it, and I was like trying to watch it objectively.
Yeah.
And enjoy it, but also be critical. And the critical part of me was like, and even part of the fan, like the nostalgia, I was like, they kind of missed the mark a little, you know, just because I felt like there was a point where, you know, Zato, where he's in the grid.
Yep.
I was like, they missed an opportunity to have, like, I mean, they had Zordon basically there.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to have him physically come back and battle Zed.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
And then, because that's what I was hoping for. When we got to that last roundup, I was like really hoping for Zed and Zordon to duke it out.
Yeah.
And then Zed, you know, to be finally vanquished. And then what we got was something totally different. But also that Once and Always paralleled into this, because they had Billy in the command center.
Yeah.
And
Once and Always was really good. I liked Once and Always.
I did too.
And standalone film that has, okay, yes, it has continuity aspects to it, but it's not trying to tie into Dino Fury and Cosmic Fury. It's its own thing. And who knows, maybe they'll do more of that stuff, but yeah, Once and Always was good.
Once and Always was good. I loved how they brought Rita back, how they, you know, got rid of some of the other Rangers. They even tied into other universes and, you know, got the other MMPR alternates of some of the characters that were replaced later. And then we had a nice, you know, like we got Walter, you know, Zach showing up and getting to actually work with Kat and
Rocky,
which never happened in the original.
No, because it was Zach, Jason, and Trini, and then Rocky, Adam, and Aisha.
Yep. And so we got like a totally different grouping of Rangers, which was cool. And I really enjoyed it. I was even happy to see like Billy return for Cosmic Fury. I was happy to see Mick. And I was like, I saw him and I was like, I remember him from a different version, but I couldn't remember where. And then he showed up in Dino Fury and I realized, and then again in Cosmic.
Yeah.
But again, like I enjoyed it overall, but there were definitely some marks that I felt were missed. And with Hasbro owning it now and then taking it over, they're doing things a little differently. And I guess the only reason we got Beast Morphers, Dino Fury, Once and Always, and then Cosmic Fury was so that they could kind of pad it until they had time to actually produce a new, because they're going to go without Sentai footage.
Right.
And of course, because again, the OCD, that's, you know, geekdom. Mm-hmm. I did all this deep dive research on it, which I normally don't do. And then I was like, well, I want to go check out these new figures.
Mm-hmm. And that went down you a whole new rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I went scavenging and looking around, and I'm like, I remember, because like they have two versions sometimes. They have the, you know, the little $15 version or whatever of the figures, and they're about the same size, and they don't come with like the unmorphed head or a lot of the extra detail. And then they have the regular ones, like the Lightning Collection, which is basically a masterpiece. And they have reissues of stuff too, but I was really interested in some of those. And I mean, they have some MMPR, like mostly like Pink Ranger, Black Ranger, Red Ranger for the $15 ones. For the Lightning Collection, the only ones I seem to see a lot of are Zeo Ranger 2 Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
A few of the In Space. I see the Zeo Cogs a lot. The Mecha Ranger character from one of the shows. And I'll see a bunch of Dino Fury and Dino Thunder. But I managed to get my hands on the Black Dino Thunder.
Nice.
Saw it in one of the many, many Walmarts I've been to. And then I got my hand on the regular White Ranger and the metallic armor White Ranger.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool.
So now I just need Zeo and Green Ranger, but I'm waiting for the remastered Green Ranger. And then I'm going to 3D print his vest.
Yeah. Because how dare they not include it with the figure? Oh, my God.
No, they make you buy the Red Ranger to get it.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
Yeah, that's called a cash grab. Mm-hmm. Now, I do wish I could get the Master Morpher, just because I always wanted one as a kid, and I could never get one.
Yeah.
And it's also all of his morphing.
Oh, yeah. Sayings. That,
his sayings, but also, like, the different coins.
Yep.
And to me, that was like when that episode, when I saw that one, that's one of my absolute favorite crossover episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he goes through the whole cycle other than Turbo.
Yep.
And he's got power coins for each of them, which I was reading something and they said something about the Zeo crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had aged over time. It had manifested like his portable crystal was able to be converted into power coins to allow him to turn into all of the forms.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I was like, okay, I'm down with this. I really like the concept, but like I said, that's the rabbit hole I'm down right now, other than, you know, still painting and 3D printing and
and
of course trying to renovate my geek office, which I'll bring up at a later date.
Yes. We will have a whole special on your new chairs and desks and oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my. As for me, so most Funko Pop collectors will display them by franchise. And if they do display them by franchise, I don't know if most of them will do it. So let's see, do I even have one around here? Yeah, I do, but I gotta reach for it.
Oh my.
So I have, under the Pop Games line, Marvel, Spider-Man, Gamerverse, the White Spider from the video game. So it's a Funko Pop of the White Spider suit from the first game, Marvel, Spider-Man from 2015 is when that game came out, I think. Really? Was it? No. Anyway. Every Funko Pop and every line under Funko Pop, like Funko Pop Games, has a number, 334. So most people will do, oh, well, this is the Gamerverse line. Let's do all that and let's do it by the number. For me, how I'm displaying my Funko Pops is I'm doing something even more neurotic. And the fact that I'm doing this and the fact that I don't like math and I don't like numbers and I don't like any of that stuff is just crazy to me. I am organizing them by either the year the person was, like if it's like Abraham Lincoln, he was a real person, he was 60th president of the United States, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He was born in 1809. He was elected president in 1860. So that's the first in my shelf. And then the line and the multiple shelves goes on from there. So from 1860 all the way up to like the year 2000 is usually where I would cut it off, kind of thing. I have way too many Funko Pops. But just that neuroses of getting wall nothing. It's like a shelf over there next to my desk, and it's like four shelves behind me where I'm sitting at the desk. And then my what is supposed to be my kitchen table, which I use my desk as my kitchen table because ain't nobody else eating around here besides me. I just rearranged the kitchen table, put it up against the wall so I could have the Pops and whatever else, and all of that is like 2020, the current year, 2023, 2022, and so on and so forth. But like I've got all 1981 to 1989 and then the 90s and then the this and then the that. But I have all these other ones that I haven't even shelved yet because I had to rearrange them all. So it's like, oh, my God, I have to have a whole list. I'm like, OK, do I have this one? If I don't have this one written down, write it down. Write down the name of the damn thing. Write down the year that either, like, the Coca-Cola bear. Technically, the Coca-Cola bear for Coca-Cola Company was first used in an advertisement in 1922. That's how old the Coca-Cola bear is for use. Even though the 90s, like the bears at the North Pole with the Pepsi penguins and all that, like didn't happen until way, way later, but they've been using the Coca-Cola bear on advertisements since 1922. So like, oh, that's when that debuted. I have to make sure I have that in the right order and blah, 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 blah. So that's kind of my OCD, and it's my head hurts. So that's what I am OCD about right now currently. And yeah, other OCD things, like I can only like I have to start everything from the beginning. I can't just like walk into a show in like the middle of the sixth season and start watching. Just can't do that. That's ridiculous. Don't do that.
Now, I can do that. I could, but I can jump around, but it depends. Like if I've missed too much, then I obviously won't. But I also, there are certain points where I'll kind of gauge it on when I can skip an amount of episodes during that season. Like I'll kind of look it up ahead of time and see, you know, is this one instrumental to the plot? Is it not? Is it filler? Do I care to watch it? Yeah. And if it's a new show that I haven't watched before, I typically watch all of it. But then I may kind of cherry pick it after.
Yeah. I think for me, if it's a serialized, like you take your police dramas or you take your whatever, your superhero stuff, like whatever it is, whatever part of television that you want to talk about, anything that isn't a comedy, I have to start at the beginning, and if I want to continue watching the entire series, I will do so, and I will finish at the end. Comedies that I've seen before, I can, oh, this is my favorite episode of The Big Bang Theory, or Family Ties, or whatever, or, you know, Urkel, whatever the hell, Boy Meets World. So I can do that with comedies, but with, like, dramas and action shows and police procedurals and things like that, it's like, no, I need to start at the beginning and just watch. And when I get tired of watching, I'll stop watching and come back to it another time. And we mentioned recently on an episode of Studio 2009 that next year that show is going to go hardcore on the retro stuff and all the old stuff. And we're going to talk about some old comedy stuff like Abbott and Costello and things like that, because like we mentioned there, we'll mention it here. There's not like I had this conversation. I forget where it was. Might have been on this show with you, or might have been on one of the other shows with you, or might have been in Discord. I don't remember. I cannot think or know of any single current movie actor in this generation that I follow. Like,
yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat there. Like, I'll watch anybody from the 80s and 90s, but anybody more recent than that, I don't really follow them.
Yeah, I don't know any of them. I know a few people that were introduced to me in various movies and things like that over the last 20 years, but I'm specifically, let's just take 2013 to now. That's 10 years. In the last 10 years, and I'm not counting the Marvel stuff. I'm not counting the franchises. The franchises are nixed from this. Just movies in general that are not Marvel, Star Wars, whatever. There isn't a single film, really, that I'm like, oh, I could go back to this kind of thing. Whereas, like you just said, if it's Trading Places, or if it's the Police Academy movies, or if it's this, or if it's that, or whatever, we can go back to that stuff all the time because we either remember it. So we just like I said a minute ago, we just went back into the 30th anniversary for Robin Hood Men in Tights, which came out in 1993. You and I practically remember that movie like it was yesterday, even though I hadn't seen it in years. But it's fairly easy. It's a spoof of the original Prince of Thieves movie from 1991, I think. 91, whatever, when Prince of Thieves came out, I forget. But, like, yeah, I remember more of the long-term stuff than the short-term stuff. And I think the problem for me is that specific to television shows, we knew as kids and, you know, as teenagers in the late 80s, early 90s, throughout the 90s, that television networks were all about the Nielsen ratings, were all about this, all about that, getting the money and blah, 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 making the ratings and all this and all that. But they would let us get into a show so far before they would cancel it. Now in the age of streaming, which is going to be a future topic, folks, streaming, what was it? What the hell's the name of that damn episode? What were we going to call it? Streaming disillusions or something. I don't know. Something about not really keeping up with streaming anymore. This streaming era we live in, like, if they don't make their money back after, like, two episodes, they're like, yep, nope, you don't get to watch the rest of it. It's gone. Like, they don't give anything a chance anymore. They don't. Why I always, besides the fact that I like nostalgia, I always say I am a nostalgiaist. Half the time, the new stuff, I can't get invested enough. And we go, and I will quote our old buddy, good old Michael Powers. He has always said, for as long as I've known him, as long as you've known him, he gives a show five episodes. Well, the show only gets three episodes and never comes back. How the hell are we supposed to get invested in it? You know what I mean? Like, that's why I don't like a lot of the stuff today. Like, that's why I won't watch Disney Plus or any of these shows. Not because I don't want to watch them. I did not watch Ahsoka episode by episode. I watched it four episodes and four episodes so Dave and I could do the podcast episodes on it for studio. I will not watch a Marvel show until all six episodes are actually online and able to binge, because blame Netflix 10 or 11 or 12 years ago or whenever the hell it was that they're like, here's all 27 seasons of insert show name here. Like, binge it all. Like, binge it all on your time. Like, that's what I miss, that model of here's a show, here's all its episodes, go nuts if you want to go nuts. Whereas now they're like, oh, we're going to make you wait a week. And I'm like, I don't want to wait a week. I used to do that when I was a kid in the 80s, damn it. Getting too old for this shit. So, yeah, that's another OCD of mine, is trying to figure out modern television, which I don't want to even figure it out.
Yeah, I've been trying to turn my office for years into
Geek Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Geek, you know, Ultra Geek Central.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep ending up, like, I have a nice desk. I like it. It's an L-shaped desk. It's also like, I don't have enough room. Like, well, and I say that, like, my entire office is cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it ends up being a dumping ground for everybody. Also, I have, like, random bookcases and cabinets, and it's just, it's totally disorganized. And I have, like, I have two hutches that are on my desk, but it takes up so much space that my monitors, like, in order to open it, I have to move a monitor.
Oh, no.
And then I've got all this other stuff that's just sitting around in here. And honestly, I was kind of looking at it. I was like, well, if I get two bookshelves with doors on them, but a couple of shelves that are display purposes.
Right.
I can put out some of the same items I have on display right now, or at least rotate through them. But I could also store everything that's in this desk in those, because I'm getting a new desk from UN Racing.
Mm-hmm.
Same people that gave me the chair that I'm sitting in and the chair that I have at work.
Awesome.
For review. And so, It's going to be big enough. Like, I'll be able to do cable management for one. Two, I don't know. It'll look cleaner for my computer stuff to be just on that, and to not have everything else. So, like, if I want to do a craft of some kind or work on my painting stuff, I'll have to just kind of move elsewhere in the room, because right now it's just and I keep accumulating crap, like, just around it in the desk and around it, and so, like, I'm it's not necessarily crap, it's just, like, paperwork I need to file, and then I got this old raggedy file cabinet in here, and so I've got, like, a little wood file cabinet that's probably twice the width of my metal one that's there, but I could turn the bottom drawer into a file cabinet and dump the other one. I could get rid of a bookcase. It's about condensing the space and just making the room look better. Plus, I would be able to rotate my desk and have my sound panels with space behind me.
Yeah, behind you. Yep.
So I could actually like do video and not be in front of a window.
Yeah.
So I could put things on either side of it. I could, you know, I mean, I could decorate it differently. And that's kind of the goal of doing this. So that's kind of my current geek obsession, is trying to do that. Plus, I want to try and make like, I've always wanted to make like a borderline news desk out of my computer desk, and I've never had the ability to do so. And this desk would allow me to do the RGB lighting on the edges of it. Plus, they have their logo on like a metal board that kind of just covers up. So like when people walk in, like your legs or your computer equipment is hidden.
Right.
And so I would just basically get a poster of some kind to reskin it.
Cool.
As like Alter Geek or Geekcast Radio or some kind of a thing therein that I could record myself.
Nice.
That with my own desk. Cool. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's, I've got it put together in my head what I want. It's just a matter of funds.
Yeah.
Because the cabinets I want are like, I mean, it'd be ideal if I had like three, but because then I could dump literally everything in here. But if I have two, I can still use the one file cabinet that I have my printer on right now, my 3D printer, and just shove it between the two to kind of space it out. So, I mean, I've got all these ideas of things I want to try and do, but it just depends.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cost is always going to be a issue. But
I think I can flip this desk, though. Like,
oh, sure. Easily. Oh, 100% you can. Yeah.
At least for what I'm trying to get the cabinets for.
Yeah, absolutely.
I told Mary, and she's like, oh, so you want to clean up your room, too? I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of like, it'd be nice if I could just lock away a lot of it and then that way I can get to it when I need to, but it's not prominent. My closet's even packed, like it's a coat closet, but it's got a lot of other crap in it that's stacked around it. And I'm like, I need to go through that too.
Yep.
So I'm trying to turn my office little by little into a geek hub.
Nice. Yeah, my living room is my geek hub. My desk is out here. It is what it is. And, of course, I should clean the desk off and things like that. But I have too many Funko Pops. I need to sell some of this shit.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do that, too.
Yep.
A little bit, because I've been on, like, a 3D printing craze, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a bunch of Beast Wars characters, and some I'm like, do I really want it? Do I want to get rid of it? Do I want to, you know, trade up so I can, just for space purposes?
Yeah.
And I have some stuff at work that I may rotate some of my home stuff and put it there and then sell what's at work.
Oh, cool.
That way I can still keep some. But
yep.
Yeah, that's part of my geek OCD, is I collect things I don't necessarily need, but I want them because that's what I'm into at the moment.
Yeah. So. I think that's how we all are. I mean, like, look, folks, you take any of us geeks into any shop or any store, you show us a thing online that we we're going to like, first thing we're going to do is we're going to point, ooh, shiny, want, need, must have. 6 months down the line, I don't really care about it anymore. Sell it, whatever. You know. Yeah. But seriously, that's part of the disorder. That's part of the thing. Like, ooh, shiny, need now, must have. And then later down the line, it's like,
Well, it's funny because there's still some I'm like, I don't want to part with them. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't really need it. I just like how it looks.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing with me with the Funko Pops and the Funko Sodas. Like, I know a guy who does, it's not 3D printing. It's more CNC lathe. It's more mechanical than, it's hard acrylic tops to because the Funko soda characters, they're like the Funko Pops, except they don't have bobbleheads or anything like that. But the cans they come in are supposed to be like real soda cans. Well, that means they can't actually stand on the can properly. They can if you balance them right, but there really is no. So this guy, Jim from Rock Ink Toys, he made these soda decks is what he calls them. And there's a little stand there, and there's a little insert for the little pog that comes with the Funko soda. And I've got, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, 35, 40 of them, and then I've got 20 other sodas that I've bought since then that I haven't gotten more soda decks from. And I'm like, oh, crap. And look, when I'm buying Funko products, it's mostly like from people I've purchased from before on Whatnot and things like that. And it's, I want to support those people. And if they have a character that I know I'm going to like or know that I want in my collection, I'll buy it from them because I want to support them. And, hey, look, I get a character I like. And I like all the ones I have. I just don't have the right display thing for it that I actually want to be able to display them on. So there's that. So part of my kitchen, part of my my countertop, it's like all these soda cans. Somebody walks in here and be like, why you leave all that soda? I said, it's not real soda. It's just not. Because they look like, literally, the other day, I just grabbed a Diet Coke, and I'm a patron member of the Poppin' Duo, Vince and Bree, the Poppin' Duo, over on YouTube and whatnot and wherever else. I'm one of their Patreon members, and every quarter they send out a box, and usually Vince will cater the boxes to what the person likes. So if he knows I like Transformers Pops or G.I. Joe or Masters of the Universe, he'll throw in a pop or a soda. Well, this last time he threw in the Big Bang Theory, Leonard. When Leonard, in the show, when Leonard holds up the sarcasm sign to Sheldon, they made a pop version of that. And I had wanted that since about, I don't know, when it came out way back in 2019 when Karen and I first saw it at a GameStop. And I had never gotten it. So he's like, oh, here, I'll throw it in your Patreon box. I'm like, all right, cool. So he threw that in and threw in a tongue lash or Master of the Universe soda. And I'm supporting them. They're characters I like. Fine, good, whatever. It's just that I'm having too many. And I really only keep the stuff to the living room. I'm not putting it in my bedroom. I'm just not. I don't even, other than my 55-inch television, there is practically nothing in my bedroom as far as like art on the walls or anything else. But here in the living room, I've got art in front of me. I got art behind me on the walls. I've got bookshelves. I've got whatever other things. And I like it. I just need to clean it up and sell some of these things that I don't really like. I'll look at it and be like, okay, I like this about, like I said earlier, about 6 months ago. Now I don't really feel like I have to have it. Let's see where else it can go or see if anyone else wants it or whatever kind of thing. But there are certain things like Mr. Optimus Prime.
Autobots, roll out.
That I will probably never get rid of because that is a Funko Pop Lights and Sounds with Peter Cullen's voice in it. I will probably be buried with that thing even though I'm being cremated. So any other obsessive compulsive geek disorders you want to bring up, sir? Anything else you want to talk about on this one?
Just usually when I get involved in a franchise, I kind of go all in, annoyingly so. Which I'm sure most geeks do.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like anything. And for me, it's franchise, but it doesn't matter what the thing of the franchise. Like, I have a Knight Rider lunchbox and thermos. I have the Knight Rider board game. I have the Knight Rider matchbox car. I have Knight Rider Funko Pop. I have Knight Rider this, Knight Rider that. But it's not just one specific item from the franchise. It's multiple. Same thing with a lot of the Christmas Vacation stuff that I have. Yes, a lot of it is Funko Pops, but I've got a couple of the posters from the movie and things like, hell, the Transformers, all the artwork that's behind me that people will see once I take a picture of it and throw it in the post. I've got 2 TMNT posters, 4 Transformers posters, 2 original art pieces from Tom Zoller from his thing, and I've got a bunch of other art stuff that I haven't even put up yet. And I've been living in this apartment for just over a year and a half.
Yeah, see, I got a lot of geek signed stuff that I've had in a frame that I've just not pulled out. Like, yep. It, just because I have nowhere to really put it.
Right.
At present. Yeah. Maybe that'll change.
Here's hoping. You at least put one or two things up on the walls.
Yeah, it'll be nice. I'll see. Yep.
100%. All right, folks. I think we're going to go to a quick ad break, and we'll be back to close the show right after this.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hey, everybody. It's Jason with 7 Bucks a Pop and Mystery Grill. In case you didn't know, 7 Bucks a Pop is your number one stop for buying Funko Pops online. In addition to the thousands of Funko Pops that you can purchase right now, we have our popular Pop Shields and Pop Shield Armors, plus our Signature Series collection featuring authenticated signatures on Funko Pops. And join us on MysteryGrill.com for your weekly Funko Mystery Box. We have our Sunday drops every week at 3 p.m. Eastern and our Theme Thursday drops every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern. What a time to be a Mystery Grailer. Check us out on 7bucksapop.com and mysterygrail.com. Plus on social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
That's 7bucksapop.com.
Hey, that was fun!
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
We are back here on Altered Geek and Geekcast Radio. Obsessively compulsive geek disorder. What are yours, folks? Let us know. How obsessively compulsive much of a geek are you? Sound off in the comments on the website, geekcastradio.com. Any final thoughts, sir, before we get out of here for the night?
I'm going to say no.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, same thing with me. It's just... And for me, like with the Funko Pop, trying to keep up with the years, it's like if I don't write it down immediately, as soon as I get a Funko Pop in the mail, like I'm getting a Funko Pop in the mail tomorrow, I've already written down the character, and it's going to be Alfred Hitchcock, the famous movie director. He was born in 1809. I already have that written down on my sheet. So that way I don't forget. So that way I can just put him up on the shelf where he belongs in the date that he belongs in, kind of thing. So for now, I'm TFU and Michael with
Steve Megatron.
Until next time.